Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 24. And I tell you, there's not a better day in the world than Easter. Don't you love Easter? Praise the Lord. I tell you, I'm so grateful for Easter. I love Christmas. I love to celebrate the birth of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I love Christmas. I love Father's Day. I love my Heavenly Father. I love my daddy who is now with the Lord. I love Donna's daddy who is now with the Lord. I love Mother's Day. I love my sweet wife. And she's the best mom I've ever known. I love my deceased mother and my precious mother-in-law who's with us today and comes every Sunday. I love the 4th of July. I love the United States of America. I hope you love the United States of America. But these are all great holidays, but to me, the greatest holiday of all. And you know, holiday is okay to say. It means holy day. Holy day. And the greatest of all the holy days is Easter. We celebrate a risen Savior. I want to say this to you. If Jesus Christ is still dead, nothing really matters. But if Jesus Christ is alive, and I believe he is, nothing else really matters. Amen. Thank the Lord that Jesus is alive today. Give him praise and glory. So I want to talk to you about the good news of Easter. Luke chapter 24, we'll go through 12 verses. We'll just walk right through it. I'm going to give you three things here. First of all, I bring you the good news of Easter, and that includes the fact that Jesus is not dead. Let's all say that together. Jesus is not dead. Look at verses 1 through 5. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men, actually two angels, suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified. They bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" Now that is a profound question. The Jewish Sabbath is Saturday. It's not Sunday. Sunday is Resurrection Day. Jesus was crucified and buried on a Friday. We call that Good Friday. And he stayed in the grave Friday afternoon, Friday night, all day and night Saturday, and then on early Sunday morning, a total of 3 days. But early on Sunday morning, aren't you grateful that Jesus walked out of that grave never to die again? And so when the women came to Jesus' tomb, they didn't know that. They didn't know he'd walked out of the grave. They came to apply the spices to his dead body, and they were shocked. Verse 2, they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Now, who had rolled that huge stone away from the tomb? Matthew tells us in his gospel, in a parallel account, Matthew 28, verses 1 and following. You can see it on the screen. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the Bible tells us, it tells us in Luke 24, verse 3, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were perplexed. They didn't know what was going on. They were distraught. They were discouraged. They thought someone possibly had stolen his body. But then another angel joined in and told them exactly what had happened in verse 5. The Bible says the women were terrified. They bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" I have good news for you. Jesus is not dead. He was dead, but he's not dead anymore. Have you ever thought about the transition of death? You say, "Well, not lately." Well, maybe you ought to think about it once. You know, I feel like that if you really want to live, you need to think about death every once in a while. Because you'll really think about what is important in life. Death is a supernatural transition from earthly life to eternal life. We only know right now about earthly life. I have news for you. There's something better coming. It's called eternal life. Death is a supernatural transition from earthly life to eternal life. You say, what do you mean? Well, you are, and I am, and all of us are, a trichotomy. By that I mean we're made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. We think most of the time about our body. We don't really think that much many times about our soul and our spirit. But the Bible says that all death is when your soul and spirit leave your body. When you see a dead person, I can remember when I was a youth director and a guy was out painting the gutters on our church. I walked in, he was painting the gutters of our church. I walked out, he had fallen off the ladder. I think he had died before he fell off the ladder, and he was laying down on the pavement, face down, and his spirit and his soul was gone. He had died. And that's going to happen to every person in this room should Jesus tarry. The Bible says that life on earth is brief. If you're a Christian, when your soul and your spirit leave your body, goes to heaven. If you're a non-Christian, when your soul and body leaves, when your soul and spirit leaves your body, goes to hell. And the Bible says that life is brief. And every person in this room is one heartbeat, one breath away from eternity. Are you ready? Do you know the Lord? Every person in this room is one heartbeat away from heaven or hell, based on what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. The brevity of life is spoken about in Psalm 39. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered. Did you know God has numbered your days? How fleeting my life is. How many of you know that life goes by fast? Anybody know that? Life is fleeting. You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows. And all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth and we don't even know who's going to spend it. Life on earth is short, and death after death comes judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, you don't cease to exist. The minute you die, you stand before God. Each person is destined, Hebrews 9:27, to die once, and after that, not reincarnation, not cessation of spirit and soul, but then comes the judgment. When you die, your soul and your spirit will live on forever. But Jesus' death was different than our death. His death did not last. Oh, he died. Yes, he died. His spirit and soul departed from his body. His body was laid in a borrowed grave. His spirit and soul went to go get the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And then his spirit and soul went to heaven for 3 days. He took the thief on the cross back with him. And that old boy, don't you know, he was really saying, wow. That's a Greek word, okay, for Shazam, okay, if you know what that is, all right. But praise the Lord, on that first Easter morning, Jesus' spirit and soul rose from the dead, re-entered his body, and he came back to life. The Bible says in Romans 8:34, who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us. He was raised to life for us. He's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, and he's pleading for us. Jesus Christ is not dead. Every human being is going to die. Jesus died, but praise his name, he rose from the dead. He is not dead. Give him glory and praise today, right in the house of God. Amen. Well, I got some more good news for you. Not only is Jesus not dead, the good news of Easter also says that Jesus is risen. He's been raised from the dead. Look at verses 6 and 7. He's not here. He isn't here, the angel said. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Can't you imagine all of heaven when they heard those words? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Don't you know that heaven erupted in glory and in praise? Ever since Eve and Adam sinned, death has ruled this planet. God said to Adam, Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your brow, you will have food to eat until you return to the ground. God says, you're going back to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Bible says, Paul said in Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. Death spread to everyone because everyone sinned. But praise the Lord, after Jesus died, he rose bodily, victoriously, and eternally. It wasn't just his teachings that rose. The teacher arose. Jesus rose from the dead. You said, do you really believe that? With all my soul, I believe that he was dead, but I believe he rose from the dead. His body rose, and he rose victoriously. He came out of the grave with the keys to death, hell, and the grave in his hand. And I don't have to fear the grave. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear anything like that. Jesus has the keys. Always be around the guy with the keys, all right? The guy with the keys can get you anywhere. And Jesus has the keys for all eternity. And he rose eternally. You know, there are a lot of people in the Bible that rose from the dead, but they died again. But when Jesus rose, he has never died again. Jesus defeated death. That's the good news of Easter. Jesus is risen. Many of the Christians in Corinth, the church at Corinth, didn't get this. They'd been deceived. False prophets had told them that there really is no resurrection of their bodies after death. But Paul corrected that lie. Paul said if there's no resurrection, that even Christ is still dead. He said in a famous text, I called my son. I call him every Sunday morning. He's a preacher in Murfreesboro. I said, what you preaching on today? He said, 1 Corinthians 15. Well, I said, well, I'm mentioning it, but I'm not preaching on it all the way through. Here's what my son's preaching on today. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 and following. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there's no resurrection of the dead? For if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, your faith is useless, and we apostles, Paul said, would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is useless. You're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But, let's all read verse 20 together. Read this with me. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the great harvest of all who have died. Give him glory. Give him praise right now. He's been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Christ is alive. He's been raised from the dead. His glorious resurrection has opened up salvation in heaven for all of us. You say, how do I know I have that salvation? How do I know that I'm on my way to heaven? Well, you can't just go to church. You say, well, I thought that's how you got saved. No. No, you don't become a Christian because you walk into a church or building. Just like you don't become a car because you walk into a garage. Amen? I mean, you have to come to the Lord. You have to come to the Lord and do what? You have to repent. What does that mean? You got to do a 180. You got to say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I don't want to keep walking in selfishness and sin, doing what I want to do. I turn. And Jesus will help you today repent. I remember when he helped me repent. I was 18 years old. And then you not only repent, but you believe. You believe that Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for your sin, and you believe that God raised him from the dead. You repent and you believe, and then you receive him. As many as receive him, they become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, and you receive him. You call upon the name of the Lord and say, Jesus, come into my life. And the moment you do that, he comes and he takes control of your life and he saves you, washes away all of your sins. Death has lost its sting for you if you know Christ. The grave can't hold you. Your spirit and soul are not bound anymore. When Jesus comes back, the grave won't hold your body in the ground. Every time I go to Dyersburg and I see my mother and my brother and my daddy and my aunt and my uncle in those graves there, I think about the fact, ain't no grave gonna hold those bodies down because they have all been saved. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, but we are citizens of heaven. Let's all say that together. We are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we're eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak, mortal bodies. He will change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under control. The body of Jesus is no longer in a grave. Jesus' bones are no longer in Jerusalem. He was buried, but on that first Easter, he rose from the dead. Let me just give you this thought. Every Roman Caesar that thought they were so powerful, they're all dead. Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Confucius was confused and he is dead. Hitler is dead. Stalin is dead. Pol Pot, Mao Zedong are all dead. But the greatest leader of all time, Jesus Christ, is not dead. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. Well, good news. Easter is good news. Amen. Jesus is not dead. He's risen. One more thing. If he's not dead, if he's risen, then you and I, as Christians, should share Jesus with everyone. Share Jesus with everyone. Look at verses 8. These women, they went to anoint Jesus' dead body on a Sunday morning, found an empty tomb. Angels said, he's not here. He's risen. And they had to tell somebody. They were overcome with joy. Look at verses 8 and following. Then they remembered what Jesus had said. So they rushed. That's always a good thing, by the way. Remember what Jesus said, all right? So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, several other women who told the apostles what had happened. I love the fact that the first people to share the gospel after the resurrection were women. Women. Amen. The Bible says, you can clap for women, that's fine with me, that doesn't bother me a bit. Would somebody tell me what verse I was in? 11? That's where I'm going to read anyway. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men. Oh, there's those guys. The women's ministry's moving forward and the men's ministry's dragging. All right, okay. So they didn't believe it. However, people jumped up Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. And when he went home again, wondering what had happened. You see the parallel account in Matthew 28, verses 8 through 10. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. They rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." People ask me, what's your favorite spot on the planet? No doubt, the Sea of Galilee. Oh, I love that place. They went to Galilee. The disciples of Jesus worshiped him. But even there, some of them doubted. We read in Matthew 28, 16 and 17, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. And even though some of them were doubting, Jesus commissioned them with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth." And would you read verses 19 and 20 with me, please? "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's still what we're supposed to be doing. Why do we have these services? Why did we have a service last night? Great group of people here last night. Great group of people here today. I started to get up and say, SOS, scoot over some. A lot of people here today. Holy Spirit's here today. And I'm so grateful that Jesus has given us the commission. And we need to tell other people about Christ. Now, some of you, that just absolutely scares you. I love Jesus, but I don't know what to say. Let me just let you get beyond that today. Please listen to what I'm about to say. It's the simplest thing in the world. Share your testimony. You say, what's that? Three things. Tell them what life was before you met Christ. Before I met Christ. Now, you don't have to tell all of the putrid, you know, little bitty details and everything. Don't tell them, you know, how drunk you got or all that kind of stuff. Don't do all that. Just say, you know, I struggled with alcohol. I struggled with this. I struggled with other things. And talk a little bit about how you struggled, but then talk a lot about how God changed you. Tell them what life was like before you met Christ. Tell them how you met Christ. And then tell them what life is not life now since you've met Christ. Anybody can do that. I can tell you right now my testimony. Before I met the Lord, I was living for me. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I was involved in things that I'm ashamed of now. But then some guys in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes invited me to their Bible study. And I started reading the Bible. And the Spirit of God started touching my heart, and I knew that I needed Christ. And I went to a country church, and I prayed and received Christ into my life. And from that day, back in February the 10th, 1976, ever since that day, I have been living for the Lord. I haven't been perfect, but Christ has changed my life. And I am not so much just a salesman, I'm a satisfied customer. Jesus changed my life. Now, what was that? What was that, 90 seconds? And I shared with you my testimony. Now, what are they going to do with that? They don't believe in it. So I don't buy. You do whatever you want to. But that's what God did for me. That's what God did for me. Share your testimony. Share the gospel. Tell them that they can be saved. Share Jesus with anyone and everyone, any place you go. I've made a commitment that anybody that comes to my home, even if they're delivering from FedEx or whatever else. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Anybody that comes to my house, I'm going to tell them about the Lord. By the way, it's my house. I can pretty much share with them what I want, can I? And I don't mean that arrogantly, but I want to tell people about Jesus. Why? Because he's alive. That's what Easter is about. Easter is about Jesus' bloody cross. It's also about an empty tomb. It's about the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. I pray that you know he's alive. And I pray that today, if you've never repented of your sins, believed in Jesus, received him as Lord and Savior, I pray that you'll do that today. And I'm telling you, he really is alive. The gates and doors are barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear that day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, a voice began to call. I hurried to my window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches, the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary. I went and let her in. John stood there beside me. She told us where she'd been. She said, "They've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away. Now his body isn't there." We both ran toward the garden. John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, the way Mary said. And the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, what I did not know. John believed a miracle, I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high. I saw them crucify him, and then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it couldn't be the same. Oh, but suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that shone from everywhere drove shadows from that room. Jesus stood before me, his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees, clung to him, and I cried. He raised me to my feet. I looked into his eyes. Love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. My guilt and my confusion disappeared in a sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Forgiven.
worldwide.